بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. My brothers and sisters, today inshallah I want to talk to you on a topic which I called my ummah. My ummah is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repeat on his tongue. Ever since he was sent as a messenger, he understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending him to the world, and that there are those who are going to accept and follow him and those who will reject him and fight him. Just like all the messengers and prophets that came before, they had those who followed them and those who fought them. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no different to the other prophets and messengers in that he comes from the same God with the same message, except that he is the last and final of all the prophets and messengers, and he was honored the most by being sent to the world and receive the final revelation from Allah, the Qur'an, which confirms the scriptures that were sent before to the prophets before him, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the rest. And there isn't a prophet that was sent to the world except that they were sent to a nation and a community, specifically to them with their own language and from among them who was born among them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Qur'an, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we surely sent a messenger to every community, saying, worship Allah and shun false gods. But some of them were guided by Allah, while others were destined to stray. So travel throughout the land and see the fate of the deniers, meaning see the ruins of the ancient people before and what became of them. My brothers and sisters, my ummah, my nation, what does an ummah mean? An ummah means a large group of people, a community that is so big. I think the closest meaning in English is community, but not a small community, a large global community. A community that you belong to throughout the world, wherever you are. And a lot of people, they base their ummah on several different identities. Some base their own community and their identity on their race, just which race they're from, and they only acknowledge the people of their race to be their community and their identity. Others on their culture and their nationality. Others, they base it on financial status or a caste. In some countries, we have the culture of caste systems. Others, they base it on their position in life. Are they of an affluent position or a poor position? Are they from rich families, poor families? Are they people who are monarchs, the kings and the queens, and they only associate with them? People associate themselves with all sorts of communities and beliefs. However, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a totally different type of ummah. The ummah of every messenger and prophet are only those who followed that prophet and messenger, supported him, fought with him, stood up for him, and died with him on the same belief. And on the day of judgment, every prophet and messenger will rise with their own ummah, with their own community. Who did we say the community is? The community who believed in the Prophet and Messenger, followed his teachings from Allah, and died upon it. Musa alayhi salam, Moses had an ummah, who were called the children of Israel. They are the second largest ummah after the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The last and final ummah is the ummah of the Muslims. They are called Muslims by name, but it's a description, which means those who submit and surrender to the teachings of Allah and followed the Messenger Muhammad as the final prophet and all the other prophets before him. We make no distinction between them, as Allah says, and they all said, we hear and obey. And this ummah also carries a constitution, a book from Allah, which is called the Qur'an. Every person that holds on to the Qur'an from beginning to end, believes in it, whether it fits their desire or not, whether they make sense to them or not, whether it pleases them or not, they must love every verse of the Qur'an and believe that it's from Allah and not reject any of it. And anything that came from the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ authentically, and they follow it, and they love the Prophet ﷺ and believe in him as the final messenger, with no other messengers after him, and follow therefore the Qur'an and the Sunnah is from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. Regardless of their color, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, men and women, old and young, rich and poor, high status, low status, kings or no kings, leaders or followers, people who are known, people who are not, it doesn't matter, free person or slave person, to Allah and His Messenger, all of this means nothing except piety and righteousness. And we're going to go through, inshallah, this evening with all the different scenarios and statements and reactions and feelings and emotions and thoughts and advice and care and tears of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the most beloved people to him in the world, even more than himself, his ummah. Ummati, ummati, my nation, we ask Allah to make us among his ummah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all describes this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his relationship to his ummah, to us, inshaAllah. In the Qur'an, in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 128, Allah says,
لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ
Allah says, firstly, there has come to you a messenger of Allah. You people, the world, there has come to you a messenger of Allah from among yourselves. He is like you. He is a human being. He feels what you feel. He gets sad. He gets happy. He gets tired. He gets sick. He gets healthy. He lives and he dies. Who is distressed? Allah describes him. He says, who is distressed by the losses you sustain? Who is ardently desirous of your welfare? And is tender and merciful to those that believe. The scholar said, there is no other messenger and prophet in the history of the world whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him with these two qualities, which are also Allah's names. Ra'ufun, Rahim, tender and merciful. And in the same verse of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is tender and merciful. In another verse where Allah mentions Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tender and merciful, straight after that Allah mentions Himself as tender and merciful. There is no prophet or messenger or any human which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled His own two names in the same verse and describing a messenger with the same qualities. Of course, not the same qualities as Allah. We're talking about the meaning of the name in a human form. Ra'uf, Rahim, tender, merciful. Of course, Allah is Al-Ra'uf, Al-Rahim, the most merciful, the most tender. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is tender and merciful as a human. Not like Allah, but as a human. And that is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He mentions this about Him saying, the Messenger of Allah, this man which I have sent, anything he sees you going through of pain and agony, any distress you go through, any loss that you go through, the moment he sees you in pain, he is distressed. The moment he sees you sad, he is sad. The moment he sees you joyous, he is joyous. And not only in this life, but his worry for his ummah extends beyond this world. to a future in the afterlife. He will not leave you until you make sure that he has guided you in every way and shape or form he can for you to enter paradise and not go to hellfire, for you to have a good life here and in the hereafter. And that is why Allah said also in the Quran,
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah says in chapter 21, verse 107, we have sent you forth as nothing but mercy to people of the whole world. This is because he aroused the neglectful world from its heedlessness and gave it the knowledge of the criterion between truth and falsehood. He is merciful because he warned it very clearly of both the ways of salvation and ruin. The fact that he has been stated here to tell the disbelievers of Mecca that they were quite wrong in their estimate of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he was an affliction and distress for them, because they said, this man has sown seeds of discard among our clans and separated near relatives from each other. They have been told here in this verse by Allah, O people, you are wrong to presume that he is an affliction for you, but he is in reality a blessing and mercy of Allah for you. That is the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At one time, he was seen crying very heavily until his tears soaked his beard, and the companions around him saw his tears reach his clothes and then to the ground. What was making the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying so heavily, I wonder? The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, once sat me down and he asked me to recite to him from the Quran. I said to him, O Messenger of Allah, you want me to recite the Quran to you when the Quran descended upon you? It's revealed to you, O Messenger of Allah. You want me to recite? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, sometimes I like listening to it rather than reciting, because it has a different effect. Recite, Ibn Mas'ud. And of course, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was chosen because he was among the best of reciters. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, whoever wants to recite the Quran as it was sent, as it was revealed, recite it like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud began to recite from the Quran, from Surah An-Nisa. He says, until I reached a part of Surah An-Nisa which says,
فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِن كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا.
Verse 41, which means, and how will that day be when we bring all of these people, your ummah, your nation, on the day of judgment to be held accountable and judged, and we bring you, O Messenger of Allah, to stand witness for them or against them. A Sahabi companion was sitting there and he got Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's attention and winked at him, told him, look at the Messenger of Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying heavily. He looked up at Ibn Mas'ud and said, that's enough, Ibn Mas'ud, that's enough. I can't handle more than that. What was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying about? He said, hasbuk al-an. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud looked at him. I found, he said, his beard soaked with tears and reaching the floor. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was scared. was afraid for his ummah, that he's going to have to stand on the Day of Judgment as their messenger to be a witness for us. And he has to be a witness if we did wrong against us. He wanted the best for his ummah. He is afraid of that stand because he only wants to ask Allah something else. And we're going to get to it, inshallah. We're going to get to it. What will the Prophet ﷺ say on the Day of Judgment? In another incident, Rasulullah ﷺ was asked by his wife Aisha one night, radiallahu anha. She said, the hadith is in Bukhari, by the way. She said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about the worst time in your life that you went through. I'd like you to share with us. Maybe it's something about women, a wife, a mother, a daughter. They like their husbands or their sons or their brothers to share vulnerable moments, maybe, or to go into their inner emotions and share it with them. It's something about that. Rasulullah ﷺ understood that about his wife, and this is how they connect. So he shared with her. He shared with her a deep emotion. However, he did not say it in detail. And that's the best thing to do, that if you had gone through something really bad, just give reference, but not in detail, so that you don't turn it into a mental illness or almost like a pity or something like that. You've got to be patient. But he mentioned to her, he said to her, she actually said to him, I forgot to say, was there a more terrible time that came upon you, worse than Uhud, worse than the battle of Uhud? We all know in Uhud, Rasulullah ﷺ almost got killed. He was injured and went unconscious. One of the worst battles in which Hamza, his uncle, was, radiallahu anhu, was massacred, was killed and cut to pieces, and so were his companions. Rasulullah ﷺ was horrific. And Aisha ﷺ says, was there more of a horrific time than that? And he said, yes. I found from your people, now in Arabic when you say your people, it means our people, but it's just a matter of speech. It says, I found from your people one of the worst times. In a place, he mentioned, that was near a place called Ta'if. Ta'if, where Rasulullah ﷺ had been sent to them as a messenger, and he had become homeless in Mecca, and his wife Khadija radhiyallahu anha had passed away, and his supportive uncle had passed away, and there were hardly any Muslims around him, and there was a bounty on his head for anyone to capture him dead or alive. So Rasulullah ﷺ left Mecca looking for a home. He was destitute. So he said, they told me to go Ta'if. I thought maybe in Ta'if there were Arabs there who would have some compassion to me. When I reached over there, they were very harsh to me. And they said this and that to me. He didn't mention to Aisha, I don't know what they said. We know what they said later on when his formerly adopted son, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, said what he heard. These men said the most horrible of words to the Prophet ﷺ, and they treated him with the worst bullying and treatment you can ever imagine. Rasulullah ﷺ was alone and vulnerable, and he left. He said, I left with my head filled with worry, filled with distress, and I said to myself, why would they do that to me? And he said, as I was walking, you know when a person is so distressed, you walk and walk and you don't realize how far you've walked from the pain and agony, if you've ever been in that situation. You just realize you've walked kilometers, maybe 10, 50 kilometers. You don't realize how far you've gone because your mind is so occupied with the stresses and worries. So he had been, what he got from them was terrible. He says, suddenly I came to my senses and found myself in a place called Abwa. I think it was called Abwa, or somewhere in another name there, where there were two mountains behind me. Suddenly Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he said to me, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has heard what they said to you and did to you. And with me is the angel of the mountains. He seeks permission to speak to you. He says, let him speak. The angel of the mountain says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah heard what had happened to you. Command me whatever you want me to do to them. If you want, I can grab those mountains behind you and crush them. I can destroy them all and annihilate them. Just order me. And the Prophet ﷺ replied, بل أرجو أن يخرج الله من أصلابهم من يعبد الله وحده لا يشرك به شيئا. He says, oh no, don't do that. For I hope that if not them, but the next generation out of their loins and lineage in the future will come out who will worship Allah alone and not make any partners to him whatsoever. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not thinking about himself. And even if this generation doesn't want to accept, he is feeling mercy and compassion for the future generation that is not even born yet. Why not feel for the generations that are to come, who also may have a chance of entering paradise and believing in Allah after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And such is the reason why Allah called him, "You are a mercy sent to the world." And another time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with his companions, and he described himself in how he is to us. He said to them, the hadith is in Bukhari, "My example and the example of the people of the world, is that of a man who made a fire. And when it lighted, and when he lit it up, he saw what was around it. He saw moths and insects started falling into the fire." Because we all know that insects and moths, when there's light or fire, they fly towards it. They think it's food, they think it's good, but it's actually fire, electricity. It'll kill them and they don't know it. He says, the man tries his best to prevent them from falling into the fire, the butterflies and insects, but they overpower him and rushed into the fire anyway. The Prophet, peace be upon him, then added, "Now, similarly, I take hold of the knots at your waist belts to prevent you from falling into the fire, but you insist on falling into it." That is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam viewed us. And that's his mission. He saw himself towards us. Can you imagine? I'm holding you, you're running away, and all I can grab is your belt on your waist, and I still try to the end. In other words, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I will not give up until every person has a potential. And I will not judge you until I have tried and tried until my last breath. I will not let you fall, and I will try it my endless way. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry a lot. But he only cried for four reasons, no other fifth. The first reason Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry is for his ummah, for his nation, for the nation that existed then and the ones in the future, and the ones who were to come on the day of judgment. He cried now in this world, thinking about them in the hereafter. The second reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry, he used to cry out of love and fear of Allah. Whenever he mentioned, or he recited, or he remembered a mercy, a compassion, a gratefulness, a giving, a blessing from Allah, he cried. And whenever something made him fear Allah, he cried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether he was praying, reciting Quran, in dua, or dhikr. The third reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried was when he remembered death, but not in the way most people think of it. Most people, when they remember death, they cry because they're scared of death. They think, my life is going to be over, I'm going to leave family behind. No, no, no. Rasulullah did not cry for that reason, for he knew that death will soon come and that this world is nothing compared to their own. In fact, he looked forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, when he was dying, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, I look forward to meeting my beloved Allah. But he cried remembering the punishments, the hardships, what other people will go through after death. He cried as a human being, fearing if he would go into that, or that his ummah will go into that. He cried like a person when they look at something fearful, they cry, even if they know it's not going to happen to them. But he cried out of compassion and fear as a human. Number four, he cried, but light tears. He wept, not wailed. He cried when someone passed away. When he was burying someone or someone passed away, he would cry. But this type of crying was a crying he called rahmah. He used to call it These are the tears of compassion. Rahmah. Aisha radiallahu anha once said, Ya Rasulullah, he said to her once, Ya Aisha, allow me tonight to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, by Allah, I love to be close to you, and I also love what pleases you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and performed wudu. Then he stood in salat in the house. And he started to pray and did not stop weeping until the floor and his beard was moist with tears. And he kept going until close to Fajr. Bilal radiallahu anhu, the muadhin, he came and announced the adhan, while Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still praying. When he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the effects of weeping on his face, he said, O Messenger of Allah, why are you weeping when Allah has forgiven you for what you have done and what you will ever do? And Allah had told you, He has already forgiven you. You don't need to weep about anything, O Messenger of Allah. And you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reply was? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a grateful servant then? 6 or 7 hours, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up. He's weeping in salat, just with the emotion of being grateful. Grateful. Allah had forgiven him, and he's crying, being grateful. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a verse has been revealed to me tonight, and woe to the one who reads it without reflecting upon it. And he recited,
إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Chapter 3, verse 190. Allah says, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day are signs for those of understanding. The ones who remember Allah standing, sitting and on their sides, and they think in the creation of Allah and His signs, and they say, glory be to you, Allah. Surely you have not created all of this in vain. In the Battle of Badr, where the Muslims were only 300, and the disbelievers, the enemies coming to annihilate them, were 1,000. Ali radiallahu anhu says, I looked among our soldiers, and all I could see was one single horse. The Sahabi al-Miqdad was riding on it, no other horse. And the enemies had everything. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go and sit at a tree. And he started to make dua and lift his hands up, crying and saying, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, bring about what you have promised to me. Oh Allah, if this small band of Muslims is destroyed, you will not be worshipped on this earth. Oh Allah, give me what you have promised. He kept on calling to Allah and weeping and crying until his arms reached upwards, and for about hours until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came along to him, and he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cloak had dropped off his shoulders, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shivering and crying, saying, if they're gone, there is no more ummah left. There is no more nation left. There is no more people left who will worship you, O Allah. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came along gently and lifted his cloak and placed it on the Prophet's shoulders. And he hugged him from the back and said to him in his ear, Ya Rasulullah, kafak, take it easy on yourself. Take it easy on yourself, O Prophet of Allah. this prayer of yours to your Lord will suffice you, and He will fulfill for you what He has promised you. إِنَّهُ مُنْجِزٌ وَعْدًا. And then Allah sent the verse down, when you appeal to your Lord for help, He responded to your call saying, I will help you, with 1,000 angels coming in succession. My brothers and sisters, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is calling to Allah and weeping and making dua for hours and hours to give Him victory. And with us, we make dua for a minute or two over something that happened to us, something that's just really about ourselves. Somebody hurt us with a word and that's about it. And then we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us everything and rain upon us the blessings as we want and as we wish. And if it doesn't happen, some of us, we complain and we think that Allah has betrayed us. And some of us even move away and says, where's the dua? I ask like what He said to ask, but you've only asked for a minute. Or maybe with your heart not really into it. Maybe there's no patience. And here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for hours about to be possibly killed. And the entire ummah gone and perished, crying to Allah in his dua. So the dua to Allah, brothers and sisters, to be from the heart as much as we can, inshaAllah. Rasulullah ﷺ cried at the loss of children. There was a baby girl, which he was present at, and he saw her taking her last breaths and breathing heavily. So he carried her and brought her close and realized she's dying and put her near his chest. As he watched her, his tears began to drop from his eyes. The Sahabas looked at him and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you're crying at the decree of Allah, yani? You're crying? That's what they meant. They didn't say decree, but they said, you're crying when you told us not to cry? And he said to them, it is not the tears of rejection. It is the tears of mercy and compassion. Another time, his grandson, he was only about a few months old, he was dying and he went to see him. He also carried him in his arms as he took his last breaths and he cried, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you're crying. He said, they are not wailing, but tears of mercy and compassion. Yet at another time, the companion Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he was also dying and he went to visit him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he found him unconscious. Prophet ﷺ started to cry and they said, you're crying, Ya Rasulullah. He said, it is not wailing, but tears of compassion. For we are judged over what the tongue utters, not what the eyes tear. We're not judged over the tears that fall, but over the tongue, what we say with our tongue and what we believe. Rasul ﷺ, out of love for his ummah, he advised us about everything that needs to be known. Among the compassion and mercy of the Prophet ﷺ to his ummah is this. He said in the hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, by the one in whose hand my soul is, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, you will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I tell you of something that if you do it, you will love one another, spread the greeting of peace among yourselves. In another hadith, he once sat down and he said to his companions, Wallahi, there is nothing that brings you closer to paradise except that I have informed you about it and shown you. And there is nothing that brings you closer to hellfire except that I have told you about it and shown you. There's nothing left that will do you any better than that. And that is also from the mercy of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He made sure that everything we got that would make us have the manual and the key to paradise and to be saved from the fire. So much so that one time Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua to Allah for three things and Allah gave him two and denied him one. He sat with his companions one time and said to them, I asked Allah, my Lord, for three things and He has granted me two, but has withheld one. What are they, Ya Rasulullah? He said, I beg my Lord that my ummah should not be destroyed because of famine, because of famine. And He granted me this. The ummah does not get wiped out because of famine. And I beg my Lord that my ummah should not be destroyed by an enemy that is outside of them. And Allah gave me that. Then I begged my Lord that there should be no bloodshed among the people of my ummah, meaning they kill each other and fight each other. But He did not grant me that. He did not grant me that. The ummah cannot be an ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they turn on each other and they kill each other. Otherwise, you are not an ummah anymore. And the name Ummah comes from the word which means mother. And what does a mother do? She encompasses her children. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa called us an Ummah, he encompasses us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned three things that he fears for his Ummah in the future. We said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa cares for us, so he fears three things in the future. What are they? The first one Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared for his Ummah in the future is minor shirk. Minor shirk is called also riya. Riya means to show off your good deeds only to please people and not do them for the sake of Allah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the biggest fears that I fear upon you, my ummah, is minor shirk. They said, O Messenger of Allah, and what is minor shirk? He said, riya, eye service, showing off your good deeds and worship. A person gets up to pray, notices people are watching him or her, and they beautify their prayer to please them, not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith is in Musnad Ahmad and authentic in different ways. The second thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared upon his ummah is the tongue. The tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith is in Tirmidhi, one companion named Sufyan al-Thaqafi says, Ya Rasulullah, what is something that you fear a lot upon me? And in extension to the ummah. Then the Prophet ﷺ grabbed his tongue and he said this, most of the sins of the children of Adam is because of their tongues. In our modern time, you extend this, it's not just the tongue, it's on the internet. I repeat this all the time. Anything that comes out verbally or written is speech. So in other words, he said, your speech. Your speech. You see a person probably very nice in front of you. They wouldn't say a single bad word. Put them on the internet and watch them go. No boundaries. And they think somehow they're hiding. You know, in America, the ostrich. Ever seen the ostrich? When the ostrich gets scared, you know what it does? Puts his little tiny head. How big is its body? Little tiny head in the sand. And what does it think? Thinks no one can see it. That's exactly these people who go on the internet and go away talking rubbish. They talk things, Allahu A'lam, what it is. Sinful, not sinful. And they think nobody sees them. It's like the ostrich putting its head in the thing, but the whole body is showing. We ask Allah to forgive us. The third thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, the tongue is about gossiping, backbiting, making fitna, talking false things about the deen and so on. The third thing the Prophet ﷺ feared is materialism, that the world enters into our hearts and we begin to compete for it and fight each other for it and make our whole endeavor and goal for this world and competing together. Rasulullah ﷺ says, it is not poverty that I fear upon you, my ummah, but it is abundance of wealth and treasures falling upon you that I fear. Not that it is haram, you can enjoy the abundance. What he fears is that this abundance enters your heart and then you begin to compete each other to it until you annihilate each other just as people before you were tested with it and they destroyed each other and forgot their deen. There are three more, although some of them are weak and some of them are strong, and I'll mention them anyway. The fourth one is misguiding leaders. The hadith is slightly weak in its narration, but some scholars have lifted it to acceptable. That the Prophet ﷺ said, I fear upon my ummah in the future leaders who will misguide the people away from the deen which I taught them. And obviously this meaning is in the Quran as well. Number five, the hadith is authentic. He says, I fear upon my ummah killing and oppression among themselves. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. And lastly, he said, I fear upon my ummah where people are going to follow idolatry in some parts of the world. And that there will be among my ummah 30 at least, 30 liars. Each one of them will say, I am a prophet, while I am the final prophet. There is no prophet after me, but there will always be a group of my ummah scattered in the world who are standing on the truth and following my way. We live in a time now where people are making up religious beliefs of their own. Have you seen them on the internet? They come up making up their own beliefs. I am the messenger of God. I am this, and I have come to you, and this sounds like, sit aside, man, seriously. A false prophet. Another one, I am a messenger of God. I am the Mahdi of this ummah. Where did you get this from? Another group, fear Allah, Muslims, and don't believe in hadith, only the Quran. SubhanAllah, we spoke about this last time. We spoke about it, I'm not going to go into it as well. They call others kuffar for taking hadith. All these false. Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about the foretold future. He said, the Jews before me separated into 70 different sects, and the Christians separated into at least 72 sects. And this ummah of mine will in the future, separate into 72 sects. All of it is in the fire except one. They said, O Messenger of Allah, which one is it? And he said, whoever is on the same thing that I and my companions are on. And in another hadith he says, whoever sticks to the jama'ah, the community that I and my companions are on. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim and others. Now, I don't know the exact meaning of what these sects mean, but I do know that the scholars have a few opinions. The first opinion, which is a minority and incorrect, is talking about the people before him, but that doesn't make sense. But in the future, there will be among the Muslims who will separate into 73 sects. Some scholars said they are completely in the fire, meaning they're disbelievers except one. And others, they said, no, they will separate with different ideas, but they may go to hellfire for a while and then be saved. All of these are scholars' opinions. What is unanimously agreed upon them is that a disbeliever who calls himself a Muslim, if they do not follow at least the fundamentals, the tenets fundamentals of the true Quran and Sunnah, then they are disbelievers. You reject the Quran, you reject parts of the Quran, you reject authentic hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his command, you reject the commands of Allah or his prohibitions, you start making halal haram as you please, these people, you know, making all these claims, they call themselves Muslims, but they are disbelievers. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also tells us, his hadith is sahih by Al-Albani, he said to his companions one time, you are now my companions in a time where there are so many knowledgeable scholars, but not many who speak, not many speeches. Because people didn't need to sit down and listen to speeches. They were knowledgeable enough to sit in little classes and talk. And he said, but there will come a time where those who speak are more than those who are knowledgeable. He said, in our time now, those who leave out one-tenth of knowledge are on the path of destruction. In the future, however, where knowledge is less and speeches are more, if you follow one-tenth of this deen, then you are on the straight path, inshallah. You are safe. One-tenth meaning of practices, of course, your beliefs have to be right. And there is good news in that we live in a time where knowledge is less. When he said knowledge, he meant, I'll say in Arabic, at-tafaqquh. Tafaqquh is a little bit deeper than just knowledge. Knowledge is ilm. Ilm means to know things. So we know a lot of things today. We have ample information. As for fiqh, it means to understand and comprehend and know how to apply. Many people today are not doing that, and we live in a time where... And when he said speeches, doesn't mean the people who give khutbas. Doesn't mean public speakers on din and du'at. No. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying too many people talk about the religion without knowledge. Everybody talks. Everybody gives fatwas. Everybody jumps. And you see the knowledgeable people, they don't jump. They don't go online and start making fatwas left, right, and center. The people who are not knowledgeable, they claim to be knowledgeable, start talking about the deen as they wish. They criticize, they're sarcastic, they say things they don't know about. They call halal haram and haram halal, not knowing. It says hadiths from the Prophet that they don't know if it's authentic or not. Quote verses in their own way and fight about it and think that they know it all. This is what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking about. Too many people talk, not many people are knowledgeable. In the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, too many people are knowledgeable, not many people just throw things around. Ibn Mas'ud describes this, radiallahu anhu, he says, you are living at a time, in his time, he says, you are living at a time when there are many men of understanding and few orators. There are few who ask and many who give. Few who ask means that not many people need to ask about knowledge because they're so knowledgeable. In it, there is more action than diversion. People are practicing, being productive, more than just lip service. After you, there will come a time when there are few men of understanding and many orators. There will be many who ask and few who give. Meaning many people, they ask questions about every little detail. Today we live in a time where they ask, does God exist? They ask about intricate, detailed, tiny, irrelevant, insignificant questions, and lots of time is wasted upon things. And some things are so lost that a person is so confused they need to ask upon it. It's not a bad thing, but asking. But because of the ignorance and the lack of understanding, the questioning is a lot. There will be many who ask and few who give. Guidance in it directs action. Guidance in it directs action. Know that right guidance at the end of time is better than some action. And he also said there will come time where people's desires guide their actions rather than the guidance of the sunnah guiding their actions. So a time of desires, a time of whims and people making up things. Finally, brothers and sisters, the last bits that I want to talk about, Prophet's mercy and compassion, they are close to my heart. So here we go. When the Prophet ﷺ finally returned to his hometown in Mecca, and we all know the conquest of Mecca after he was kicked out of Mecca, driven out with his companions and persecuted, he finally came back after the enemies had fought him and his companions and killed many of them and tried to annihilate the Muslims and tried to kill the Prophet ﷺ and everything they did to him. Finally, he returns back to Mecca and he takes over Mecca, and the enemies are in there thinking that the Prophet ﷺ and his companions are going to slaughter them and massacre them, because they said, we deserve what we did to him in the past decades. But instead, the Prophet, peace be upon him, stood up in front of the Kaaba to show you the Prophet ﷺ truly wants the best for the people and his ummah. And he made a khutbah, I'll just say parts of it. He said, verily, Allah has abolished the arrogance of Jahiliyyah, the ignorant days before Islam, the hierarchy of tribalism. All of you are from Adam, and Adam was from the earth. And then he recited, O people, we have created you from a single pair, a male and female, and we made you into nations and tribes so that you may come to know one another. Surely the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous among you. Allah is truly all-knowing, all-aware. Chapter 49, verse 13. Then the Prophet ﷺ turned specifically to the inhabitants, disbelieving enemies in Mecca, who had fought him all these years, and he said to them directly, مَا ظَنُّكُمْ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ? What do you think I am going to do to you now? You are all now with me, prisoners. What are you going to do? And they replied to him, the disbelievers in Mecca. They said to him, you are a man of mercy and forgiveness. You are a man of kindness and tenderness. That's all we've known you as. They spoke the truth. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, I will say to you what my brother Prophet Yusuf, Joseph, said to his brothers when they tried to kill him and he became a king in the end, or a treasurer.
لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين.
No blame or harm will be upon you today. Allah will forgive you. Then he said to them, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go, for you are free people. That is the messenger of Allah. That is what a messenger of Allah does. And then after that, there came a moment of great fear and sadness by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one time, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was reciting from the Quran. And he came across the verse which recites about what Prophet Abraham supplicated to Allah. There was a verse in the Quran which talks about Prophet Abraham praying to God for his people. And in the verse, it says that Prophet Ibrahim was saying,
رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
Surah Ibrahim. That Ibrahim alayhi salam once sat down and said, O my Lord, many of the people that you sent me to have gone astray. Whoever of them follows me, then he is one of me. But whoever has disobeyed me, O my Lord, then you are the most forgiving, most merciful. He didn't say, Oh Allah, destroy them, punish them. He said, Oh Allah, you are the forgiving, most merciful. The Messenger wanted good for his people. Then Rasulullah read on and he passed by another verse which talks about Jesus alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, where it says,
إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Jesus a.s. was saying about his own people, O my Lord, if you punish them, they are your servants. But if you forgive them instead, then you are the most wise, the honorable. Suddenly, Rasulullah ﷺ lifted his arms up to the sky and he began to weep heavily. And then he started to weep heavily. And then the hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel and he said, Oh Jibreel, go and see what Muhammad ﷺ is crying about, although Allah knows. So Jibreel said, Oh Messenger of Allah, Allah sent me to ask you, what are you crying about, while he knows? And the Prophet ﷺ replied, Ya Jibreel, he said to him, it is my ummah. All these prophets sought prayers for their ummah. And what about my ummah? I want my ummah to be safe. I want Allah to forgive them and to save them. And then Allah said to Jibreel, he said, go back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say to him, Inna sanrudika fi ummatika wala nasu'uk. O Muhammad, we will make you pleased and we will not harm you or bring you any grief or sadness in seeing harm to your ummah. Don't worry, we're going to look after them. Doesn't mean none of them will go to hellfire or be punished, some of them may. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually look after them in a way they don't deserve, but because of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will look after them, inshaAllah. In the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the day of judgment. And he began to cry, saying, On that day is a long day, very hard day. And the people will go to every single prophet after another prophet, seeking help. And every prophet will be scared himself and say, Please go away, please go away. We can't do anything for you. Each prophet will say, We're not deserving of this stance today. He says, Until they reach me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final prophet. And they say to him, O Messenger of Allah, you are the final prophet. Ask Allah and intercede for us. Rasulullah ﷺ says, On that day I will prostrate to Allah onto the ground. I do not know how long I will make my sajda for. And I will make a prayer to Allah, speaking words I have never said before. Only Allah knows how long I will say that prayer for. And then Allah will say to me, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak, washfa' tushaffa', was'al tu'ta'. O Muhammad, lift your head up and intercede. I will give you intercession and ask for anything. I will grant it to you. He says, I will lift my head up. And the first thing I will say is, Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati. My Lord, my nation, have mercy on them. Forgive them. Look after them. Don't let them fall, my Lord. And then he says, I will see groups of my ummah coming to me at a fountain which Allah had given. And some of them, the angels will not let them come through. And I will say, Oh my Lord, the promise. And Allah will say to him, You don't know what they did after you. They changed. They changed your deen. They changed. They went off. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, Then away with them. Away with them. May Allah not make us among the ones who go away, but the ones who drink from it, inshaAllah. My dear brothers and sisters, I know the salat has come in. Is that the adhan? Still?
Yeah, about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. So we'll finish these last bits, inshallah. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then stood and was happy with that in his last sermon 3 months before he passed away. What did he do? He stood up in his last sermon, and I'll just read excerpts of it just a little bit. He said, O people, addressing all people, O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with His permission. And then he moves on, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's a long sermon, says, do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well never to be unchaste. Of course, not approve, meaning those who will harm the family. Then he said, O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah. Say your 5 daily prayers. Fast during the month of Ramadan. And give your wealth in zakah. Perform hajj if you can afford it. And then he said, all mankind is from Adam and Eve. And an Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over a black, nor a black has any superiority over a white except by piety and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood, an ummah. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly to them. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will meet Allah and answer your deeds. So beware, do not astray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand words that I convey to you. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and the Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. And then he lifted his arms up to Allah and he said, Allahumma inni qad ballaght fashhad. O Allah, be my witness that I have conveyed your message to your people. Then he recited the verse, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Today I have perfected your religion and blessed and completed my favor upon you and accepted Islam as your religion, as Allah says. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, have I faithfully delivered unto you my message? A powerful murmur from the people was raised. Oh Allah, yes, you have. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Allah, yes, I have. And finally he said, Oh Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed your message to your people. Finally, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a speech that he cried in, and he advised his companions in the masjid, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, it's as if you are farewelling us. He said, perhaps I am. Stay on the clear, straight path which I have left you on, and don't go astray. And inshallah, my meeting with you is at the fountain. Then he went to the graves of the Muslims, and over there he made dua for them and greeted them and said to them, you have beaten us and we shall follow inshallah to the goodness. And then with him were some companions. Rasul ﷺ then cried and said, the only thing I would have loved to meet are my brothers. They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? Are we not your brothers? He said, you are my companions. The brothers I am talking about are not born yet. And they said, how will you know them, Ya Rasulullah? He said, well, if you heard of a man who has many horses, among them are horses that have different colors on them, and there are horses that are just one big black color, just one big color with no other colors. Isn't it easy to tell them apart? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, on the day of judgment, my ummah will come with white faces and white arms and white legs from the effect of their wudu and their salat. And that is how I will identify them, and I will tell them to come and drink from the fountain. My dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on these words, always wanting the best for his ummah. And even on his deathbed, in his last breaths, He used to say to the people, As-salatu as-salah, your prayer, your prayer, your prayer. And those that have been entrusted to you, people who have been entrusted to you, As-salah, as-salah, and those entrusted to you. So the salah is where it begins, and our trust is what matters. We have to fulfill the trust with honesty. That is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are proud of this identity. You are my brother, and I am your brother. You are my sister, and I am your brother. And you are sisters to one another. You are brothers to one another. No matter our race, our color, our nationality, our status, our finances, whether you can get something out of them or not, we are brothers and sisters in Islam. We greet each other with the same greeting. We sneeze and say Alhamdulillah, and we say Arhamukumullah. We pray together. We stand shoulder to shoulder. No difference between any person. That is how the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly is. We lift each other up. We praise one another. We advise one another in goodness and in secret. We want the best for one another, and we want for each other what we love for ourselves. And that is truly the honor of brotherhood and the honor of this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united on the rope of Allah as one ummah, the best ummah, the greatest ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, my brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.